One of my favorite people to interview over the years has been Mike Dixon from the UK, who's done a lot of neoadjuvant research on endocrine therapy. And it's kind of hard to look at his work and try to compare, for example, what they see with AIs to what we see, I guess, with chemotherapy. What's your take on? And there's a lot of other people over there who've done stuff like that.
I think the problem with pre-op hormonal therapy is we do not know what a valid endpoint is. One prime example of that is when you think back to Matt Ellis' study, which was looking at clinical response rate based on HER2 status, you would think, looking at that data, oh, an aromatase inhibitor is going to be much better at HER2-positive cancer compared to tamoxifen. But now we have data from the two large upfront adjuvant trials showing that, in fact, in the HER2-positive population, there is no difference between the aromatase inhibitor and tamoxifen. My personal opinion is that I think that all HER2-positive cancers are somewhat intrinsically hormone-resistant. And to me, you know, we have plenty of data saying that, you know, tamoxifen just doesn't work as well if you've got a HER2-positive cancer. What didn't make any sense to me was why the aromatase inhibitors would be better. There was lots of theories thrown out there, but your target is the same for aromatase inhibitors and tamoxifen. You know, it's the estrogen receptor. The other thing I think that was presented again at the meeting was the TANDEM study, which was the metastatic study with the hormone receptor positive, HER2-positive cancers. And if you recall in that study, the time to progression, the anastrozole alone arm was 2.4 months.
Of course, that's metastatic, yes.
It's metastatic, but that's extremely low. And in fact, the clinical benefit rate on the trastuzumab anastrozole arm was almost identical to Dr. Vogel's single-agent trastuzumab trial, which begs the question of, at least in some patients, what is the hormonal therapy doing in these HER2-positive cancers? The data that was presented at San Antonio this year would certainly suggest that that's something that we're going to have to watch very closely. You know, I think one of the issues is, would we have the guts to do a trial where you actually didn't give hormonal therapy to patients with ER-positive cancers if they were HER2-positive, for example? But I think we have to be very careful because I think all these things are a spectrum, and I think that it may depend on the quantity of HER2 protein or gene that's present or the quantity of ER and PR that's present. I think these things are a spectrum, and I think we really have to answer the questions in more prospective manner before we would decide to do that. But I think there's certainly an intriguing data suggesting that perhaps the HER2-positive cancers, even if they're hormone receptor positive, are really being driven by HER2-new. And I think this data would suggest to me that in an ER-positive, HER2-positive cancer in the adjuvant setting, I might be more likely to use trastuzumab than maybe I would have been before I'd seen this data.
And this data being the TANDEM data.
The TANDEM data. And I think the fact that in the two large adjuvant trials that you're not seeing this difference between tamoxifen and A. I think that my reading of that is that that is more information basically saying that these cancers are perhaps intrinsically hormone resistant.
I guess, though, in terms of whether to use hormones or not, considering the relatively favorable side effects profile, that I don't know that we think that there's no benefit of endocrine therapy in these tumors.
I think we may find that there isn't. There's very little, but right now we do not know that, and I certainly would not encourage anybody to not use endocrine therapy.
And as you mentioned, it could be that, I mean, Ken Osborne and other people have talked about the interaction between HER2 and ER, and maybe by blocking HER2, it'll actually allow the hormone therapy to work better.
That's right. I mean, I think that's really the issue. And you could take that out of the TANDEM trial, because you do see a doubling in time to progression with the aromatase inhibitor and with Herceptin, although I have to say, it could just be from the use of the Herceptin. And if they'd had a Herceptin-only arm in that trial, I think that would have been very interesting to look at. You know, and I think also HER2-new probably plays a very significant role in an acquired hormone resistance as well.